Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Norvell and the Florida State Seminoles are in the blowout business, and brother, business is a booming. Florida State beats the Louisiana Ragin-Cajuns, and a team full of very interesting last name people with a bunch of X's at the end. They absolutely demolished them. It was 49-17. It felt like it should have been like 490-7. It was basically garbage time from 12 minutes in the third quarter. Florida State played four separate quarterbacks. Walk-on Geno English got in. There was guys that I'd never heard of. Mike Norvell got to clear the bench. And Florida State, to me, I guess you always pick a story of the game. I mean, it was a complete and total professional domination. This is a team that they're not playing like this. It could have been one of those like sleepy trap games. It was a nooner. It's right before a big rivalry game. The team had the flu. The environment didn't have the same energy that you'd normally be at Doak Campbell Stadium. It doesn't matter. Florida State is a professional football team. They're serious. They take care of their business. They score touchdowns on their first like seven out of their first eight possessions against a team that, if you look at the advanced metrics, obviously Louisiana's offense is garbage, but that's a consensus top 30 or top 40 defense based on pretty much every advanced metric out there. Yep. Florida State absolutely crushed them, and it was glorious, my boys. Adam, what do you think, my friend?
I didn't know what to expect going into it because, I mean, it was, you know, guys got the flu and everything. You heard about that this week, and you're coming off of three big time games in which you blew people out, and then, you know, you get Louisiana, and it's like, all right, what's their mindset going to be against Louisiana? But they came in and they really controlled the football game from the start. They took a business-like approach, like Trey Texas earlier. They just kind of, I don't know. It's like they're just kicking ass right now. It's beautiful. I love to watch. I love to watch the football team. Like, it's a lot of fun to see him. See the little guy's head right there. He's
what's up, buddy?
Trying to be in the picture. He's sneaking his way in here. Mom will be pissed, but it is what it is. It's a lot of fun to watch this team Saturday, you know, every week, and just the approach that they have about it. It's all business. They don't screw around. But I remember Jimbo talking about like business and all that stuff, and those guys and those teams talking about it. These guys have fun though. Like, George is smiling the whole game, and, like, they just have a good time. So, it's kind of cool to see.
The biggest point on that, I literally turned and pointed to my wife. There was a point when Sidney Williams, someone who, you know, has been around for a minute, probably expecting some playing time, he makes a tackle on a kickoff return, and he's pumped about it. And that's, I mean, that's buy-in. That's a culture thing, and that's impressive. I mean, I haven't seen that at Florida State in my lifetime, where someone is stoked to make a special teams tackle in an unimportant game.
And it's so apparent in a weekend like this, a weekend full of very gratifying upsets for Florida State fans. I don't know if you guys were, you probably had a bunch of free time in that fourth quarter. The thing about college football is that because of the age of the participants, the best team doesn't always win. Lapses in focus, lapses in energy, lapses in professionalism, if you want to say it, they lead to the lesser team winning a lot. That's what makes the sport great. So, I mean, I don't even want to take a performance like this for granted. Florida State did what it was supposed to do, but college football is the sport where a lot of teams don't do what they're supposed to do every weekend. And I've been kind of waiting for the hammer to drop a little bit. Not that Florida State was going to lose any of these past four games, but when's the rust going to show? When's that uneven performance? Is it going to be against Miami on the road? Is it going to be at a nooner against Georgia Tech? Is it going to be upstate New York, Syracuse? Is it going to be against the Rajon Cajuns? It hasn't happened yet. So to be honest with you, I'm going to stop waiting for it to happen. So Florida State is a better team than Florida. And I think next week, and we'll talk about this game more, but I think even looking forward to next week, I don't really think it's about Florida. I think it's about Florida State. And if they get, like, they take care of their business, they're going to win. But what were you going to say, Kev?
I just want to really make this point clear. So Drew Mendoza brings up, I love watching FSU dominate. How much of this is caliber of opponent, though? Legitimately, is this the top 15 college football team? So I want to talk about the caliber of opponent because the name Louisiana doesn't carry weight with it. Right now, if you were to play Louisiana against Miami, against Georgia Tech, against Vanderbilt, Louisiana is a better football team according to the predictive metrics. Just because they aren't in the Power Five, this is not an FCS opponent. This isn't Duquesne that Florida State just wipes the floor with. This team has a legitimate top 40 defense. This team has a better defense by the metrics than most teams Florida State has played this season, and you still blew them out. You scored a touchdown, I think, almost every possession except for one in the first half. This isn't some, you just saw Florida lose to a much worse opponent than Florida State did. This isn't Duquesne. This isn't Jacksonville State. This is a team. You've seen App State beat Texas A&M. You've seen Marshall beat Notre Dame. All of those teams are in the same conference as Louisiana. This is a real football team you just beat, and that was a good showing, and I think that should be recognized.
I think it's fair to say that it's a real defense. I don't know if that offense is any good or not.
No, especially, the offense isn't good.
Especially without the quarterback that they've been playing more recently. But that wide receiver that they got out there, the Jefferson kid, I mean, he's
very good.
Yeah, he was good. He made Renardo look good.
That's a dude I could see. I don't know what his eligibility is. It seems like maybe this is it for him. But I mean, that's a guy, if not, I mean, I would think a lot of big-time programs would maybe be pursuing in the portal. So I thought it was impressive that they kind of did a decent job against him. I thought the one PI on Renardo wasn't a very good call facing off against him. Other than that – I love five-year-olds. Other than that, you did exactly to their defense what you've been doing the last 4 weeks, and it's kind of wild.
He cut off to talk to his kid. So those of you on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So, I mean, defensively, you know, I thought people talk about taking their foot off the gas. I mean, I thought as the second quarter went on, they kind of just, you know, they relaxed. They weren't really doing anything groundbreaking scheme wise. I mean, they just kind of,
it was so vanilla, dude.
Yeah.
Like, even on defense, and Louisiana didn't move the ball until the backups were in, even after the first couple possessions. Adam Fuller barely blitzed. There were a couple blitzes. They didn't do any. And that was another thing with what the offense did against a very good Louisiana defense. They didn't do anything exotic, dude. It was just Benson 8, Ward 8 out of the Wildcat, redemption of the Wildcat, one of the main storylines. That's back. Everybody loves the Wildcat again. Toa Fili looked good. Jordan Travis ran the ball efficiently, and it was just they didn't have to do much. And there was a couple drops in the passing game, and you set yourself up for a really good, like, you can open up the tool bag next week.
Do you think it was a plan to be very vanilla outside of this, of the, outside of you knew that Florida was going to get tape on this? Did you think that the plan was really to go vanilla because they didn't want to give Florida looks against stuff that Florida will do, knowing how close those two schemes are and kind of, those staffs were together. Obviously, Napier went from Louisiana over to Florida. Do you think that there was a real emphasis to go vanilla to try to keep from giving him an advanced scout?
You can do your answer first, Kev, because I've got an idea on it.
I actually, interestingly enough, might think almost the opposite. It felt like, so in my opinion, the way you stop this Florida defense, and I'm going to do a pretty big breakdown on them this, or way you stop this Florida offense, and I'm going to do a breakdown on them this week, hopefully, is to keep them from having explosive plays and to kind of be conservative, let them run for 3, 4, 5 yards and make them drive the field, make them score in the red zone, which they're not able to do. And since Louisiana is an analog of Florida, it felt like they were kind of conservative. They kept two safeties back. They didn't roll down in the box. It's one of the reasons why I think Louisiana probably had a better success rate than they would if Florida State kind of lined up how they would against Louisiana normally. But to me, it felt like they were treating Louisiana a bit like they want to treat Florida and using this as a prep game for Florida because they are similar.
Do you feel the same way offensively?
Offensively, yeah. They just kind of ran counter and ran it down Louisiana's throat.
So that's interesting. So, well, I do think that they'll probably be a smidge more aggressive against Florida as far as dialing up some, like, situational, like third and long pressures. But I'm kind of with you. The way is, like, to try to make Anthony Richardson be consistent and don't let him kill you in the run game. And, I think the defensive game plan next week might look pretty similar. Offensively, I just think they ran their base stuff, and if it was going to be successful, that's fine. They're going to stick with it. It might even be like one of those things too, kind of analogous to like a high level championship, like boxing fight where they'll take the first thing and they'll do some of their base stuff, throw a jab and see how the team reacts. And you saw how a very similar defense to like what Florida plays reacts to your base stuff. So I think you use that, you compute that information. And then of course you have some counters off of that. There's a nice real wheel route to Toafili out of the backfield. There was some nice screen game to Douglas. Oh, the biscuit man. He had the one-handed catch. He had some fun, dude. He was
great throw by AJ Duffy.
Yeah, that was nice, man. That was a good throw, Kevin. You're very biased.
Kev hates AJ Duffy like he hates.
I don't hate AJ Duffy. I hope he does really well.
We all do, Kevin. We're all Florida State fans. But yeah, I just think it was just do the base stuff, see how they react, and if it's working, don't change it, man. And you hit a little wildcat, and all of your guys that need to play well played well. Now, all the running backs had a fantastic game, and yeah, not too much during the air, man. I think overall they only had, and this is including all like the garbage time stuff, I think they only had like 189 yards throughout the air. So it was just, but yeah. This isn't a game that's going to be told by the total yardage because it was over by halftime. And it was like they brutally ripped their guts out. So anything else that you guys want to say about the game, maybe highlight some individuals? It was just, it was surgical, man. They did what they needed do and they got out healthy. It was
interesting. Johnny Pittman barely played. I don't know if he's one of the guys that had the flu.
Micah
or not. Pittman?
Mike, no, well, Mike. Not, got,
sorry, Johnny Wilson. I apologize. Johnny Wilson didn't play very much. He was in early and then kind of came out.
Micah got a helmet to like the nuddle region, and then they were just like, go to the room.
Yeah. And they said Micah was walking around fine on the sideline. I'm trying to think of other guys that maybe left, or Benson maybe banged his hand early, but then he was obviously came back in and was fine.
Ward came up. He was a little gimpy after the Wildcat touchdown, but I wasn't worried about that.
The old gritty celebration, I think, there. Mike kind of chewed into him on that one.
Interesting. Okay, well, I'm officially old. I didn't recognize that. Fantastic. I'm thinking celebrations or injuries now.
I thought they did a good job of getting guys out when they needed to get guys out, though, and I thought that was smart because you're playing on a short week. Like, they're going to need to start recovery today to be ready for Friday, so their bodies are ready and healthy. Yeah. So it was good they were able to get guys out today early. Like, I thought that was really smart. Like, it just continues to show how intelligent Mike is about these things. Like, we've seen teams in the past screw around and not.
We've seen Mike's teams in the past screw around, right? Yeah. Last year.
But, like, just not be able to get off the field and move on. And today they just did that. And that, to me, is the story of the whole game. You know, yeah, guys went out and made plays, yada, 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 whatever. To me, the storyline is, stayed healthy, got guys out, able to start getting ready for next week. Like,
you Adam, to your point, you got 49 points in like 31, 32 game minutes. That's crazy. You piled them up early, and then you coasted, man. And you're playing against the team that just lost on the road in Nashville against Florida. They got banged up. Their starting linebackers out for the first half.
They were missing their all NFL right guard. I mean, they seem to have some nicks and bumps. I wonder if maybe that was by choice on their part to hold some guys out because they thought that they were going to go ahead and beat Vanderbilt. But they seem to be trending downwards a little bit right now while Florida State continues to climb and elevate. And
yeah, there we go. Hit the climb. Hit the climb trademark. Register trademark. Copyright trademark. We'll pay for that one, Mike. But yeah, dude. And honestly, consistency is the underrated value of a great team, and it's so hard to cultivate in college football. And this was a team that didn't have it in the first half of this very season, but man, they're playing lights out. They look great. And you could highlight individuals, but everybody looked great. Well, Jamie Robinson, dude, he's been so much fun to watch these past couple
fourth
weeks.
Down that
hit brutal. On fourth down. Brutal, man.
That was big time.
The linebackers, everybody played great, dude. We could just name every single person, but it was complete domination. Do you want to take a couple questions, guys? Yeah.
There's something I want to address from the comments real quick.
Something he wants to address.
Okay, Kevin. The floor is yours, my friend.
So Ray Goff says we should be 10-1. 2 of 3 losses were on the coaches, but also all the wins were on the coaches. You know, who brought these kids in, who developed them, who called the plays. You beat LSU purely on game planning, in my opinion. The LSU is more talented than Florida State. You were able to out game plan a first game head coach. And, you know, you can sit here and blame whoever you want for those losses. Florida State got outplayed 3 games this year and they lost.
I'm going to say, too, I mean, not having Robert Scott against Wake Forest.
Yeah, I'd say I maybe the
not
one
having
that
Love
would
it
be
against
on the
any of them.
Yeah, the one that would maybe be on the coaches the most was NC State, but I'd say Clemson was talent, and Wake was health, in my opinion.
But, I mean, you go out of NC State in the second half, I mean, how many drops were there? That's not coaching all the way. I mean, I'm not saying that they didn't play a big part, and they played a role in all 3 losses, obviously.
Definitely, 100%.
But I'm not going to sit here and say it was all on them. I don't think that's fair. I think it's disingenuous for us to act like that's a good take, because it's not. If you have Robert Scott against Wake Forest, you beat Wake Forest. I think I could say that here very confidently. That game was because you couldn't block them up front until the second half. It took that long to get it figured out because you couldn't block the left side with a Y9. I mean, you moved it in the second half. It just took you a while to get Darius Washington and Jazz Turnitin blocking somebody.
I'd have to dig in. Maybe that's something where you do a post-mortem, because I do remember being very disappointed with the offensive game plan against NC State. That's where we were starting to say, like, okay, absolutely, now we start to feel like an easy scout. So if you want to put no losses 100% on anything, but yeah, we could go back and look through there. But I would say this is a coaching staff that has rebounded very nicely against obviously a lower level of competition. But you've seen it this week, boys. Navy just gunned down the Golden Knights of UCF. The better team doesn't always win in college football, man. So getting a team this focused for every single noon and away game, that's tip your hat to the coaches. But that's not a bad question. It's something we can look at. It's something we could look at, obviously, depending on how these next 2 games are going to go. Next question. That was good, though. I like that discussion.
I appreciate the take, even though we disagreed. I appreciate that.
I don't think it's beyond the pale. It's just I don't know if I'd put both of those losses on the coaches at all.
I've got to give credit to Will here. He actually gave me his season tickets for this game, so that was very nice,
William.
Nice of you, Will.
So, man, that crew tried like crazy to give Gators the game towards the end there. Brilliant. That Richardson solution was throw the ball as hard as he could. So he's talking about the Florida game. Richardson threw the ball out the back of the end zone to lose the game. Time expiring. Reminded me of that Georgia Tech quarterback back in the day throwing the ball out of bounds on fourth down to lose to Georgia. just a great moment.
Yeah, right, and Kev. I guess to bring it back to FSU, they got a short week too, man. And those Commodores, they slapped them around pretty good. So we'll see
physical,
how they recover.
It was a physical game, though. And like we're talking about, like they literally and they've got to fly back from Vandy, which I think also will put – it's not a long flight. I know that. But it's going to play a role. Like they've literally got to start recovering now to get
and
ready for the game. Like
drive to Tallahassee a day early because it's on Friday.
We see how difficult it is for teams in the NFL to play Sunday and then go play again on Thursday. Like it's not different for college football. Like as far as getting their bodies prepared for this football game, it's big that you were able to get your guys out and start with the recovery process.
And mental too, dude. They gotta shake off that bad loss, man. Like there's a lot of stuff that's got to go down in Gainesville that bodes well for FSU. Will we capitalize? Find out next week. Okay, Mitchell V. I'm going to go Mitchell the fifth. Not trying to put the kid down because he's a freshman, but Duffy is a one-read QB right now. Plenty of time to grow, but did you guys see the same thing? Yeah, I agree. He doesn't have a great command of Mike Norvell's offense. I thought you saw the arm talent within the pretty quick trigger on that awesome throw to the Duff man to the biscuit. So, dude, the talent's there. It's just he's a true freshman, non-generational type of QB prospect. Yeah, he doesn't know the offense at all. But
yeah, you can tell by his feet he doesn't know what he's doing.
No, I think even the throw to Markinson was off the back foot, right, Adam?
Oh yeah, back foot. His feet were to the left. He just kind of heaved it out there. Run game, he seems to understand it, but it's early. I mean, we've seen this. Mike Norvell offense takes time to be in and kind of understand and get through.
But I mean, do you guys see kind of what I've been saying about Rodemaker versus Duffy out there? Like, Duffy looked all right, but Rodemaker's 4 inches taller and he's got a cannon. Like, if you can develop that, he can be a decent quarterback.
Yeah, I don't want them both starting for me next year.
I don't want to compare them.
Yeah, I think that goes to Adam's point. Like, yeah
I mean, one's been in the system for 3 years, one's been it for a season and a spring summer. Like,
I'm just talking physical tools, but
no, physically, obviously.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah,
he's the most physically talented quarterback on the roster, but
right. Yep.
I mean, the brain's got to match the talent.
I think what we really need to talk about is Geno English.
No. That was fun to see him in there. He was throwing it to like number 24, then Michael Bustos. I don't know who you are.
It's guys like names on their jerseys.
Yeah, dude, it was awesome. It's like when Hamilton is beating somebody in 50 by basketball, which seems like that was a million years ago, and they bring in the whites, right? They bring in just the white, they whitewash the court. It was like, who the hell are these guys? They kind of look like me. Same exact thing with football, dude. How they played four quarterbacks this game, and it was cool moment for all those kids. Geno got in there, he got to sling it a little bit. It ruled, man. It was awesome.
Give me your take on the gray hoodie underneath the
first kid. Wait a minute, out of here. Daniel bringing the hot takes or the good takes here on the apparel. I just got that green pullover too, or the green shirt. I think it's sweet. It's very
good luck getting the gray hoodie though.
Salute the troops. Now, wait a minute. Daniel, now is this, can you guys confirm this? Daniel Crotty saying Mike Norvell, the people's coach. He was wearing the gray hoodie under the military appreciation. Is that true?
It was sticking out. You could see
the
hoodie.
Can confirm. The hood was out of the green shirt. It was a good look by Mike. He obviously understands the importance of that gray shirt.
He gets it, dude.
It's not a hoodie. It's not a hoodie because it's not sweat shirt material. I don't know what you would call
it. But it does have a hood.
It does have a hood. Yeah, that we can confirm that the hooded shirt has a hood. So we're really breaking big ground here on this Louisiana game review. I agree. Everybody likes to focus on what uniform combination. Are they wearing the traditional, like, what, the blacks? Yeah. It's not about the uniforms. It's about Mike Norvell's uniform, and he sticks to the plan.
What do you think about the uniforms today?
I like them, bro. I'm so fired up
in this fan base about these. What the heck they're wearing, and I'm just like, what?
I don't bother.
I'm waiting for the chrome helmets to come out.
Ooh, yeah, that would be cool.
I mean, I guess as long as most of your games are in garnet and gold, I'm good with it. But make it fun, bro. I don't care. Just win, man. Just score 49 points on your first 8 possessions. I don't care. What can we buy it? I don't know. Garnetandgold.com, free advertising. I don't know. I'd like to get it.
Come be a sponsor.
I'm not as good looking as Mike, so I could use a little bit of help in my style.
There's some rumors out there that Mike can basically go to Nike and say, hey, I want this logo on that shirt, and they'll get it for him. So I doubt that that's
possible. Oh, I think they're selling it. I think they're selling a very similar one. I don't know.
Similar? Come on.
Okay, I want to bring this up. So San Antonio, Noel Lee.
Oh, boy.
All the Ron Dugan haters can go ahead and just suck it. And I will be the first to tell you
two words
that I will. Like, that is on me. I am
Kevin. It confirmed will suck it here on the pod.
I am the Ron Dugan hater.
Nice, Kev. That's what you're taking one for the team. I'm not. But if you are for the show,
too, which was
wow, you did.
You're committed to suck it, apparently.
That's insane. You're like Lincoln Hawk from Over the Top. Like when he gets ready to arm wrestle, he turns the hat around. When Kev gets ready to do one for the team, flip her down.
What a reference.
Well, that's
I'm not going to go out on that limb and say that, yeah, Ron Dugan's is.
Yeah, he's not magic, man, but the wide receivers look a lot better once you bring in some talent.
It's a magic. It's magic what happens when you have talent. I mean, yeah, that guy's that can play football.
He was a guy to. just to illuminate his point, which we I love that you turned the hat around for that answer, dude. That rules. You guys really, if you're listening to the audio, thank you. But I would go check out, North 24/7.
That turned my Kevin's priceless.
Magical moment. But yeah, this was a guy that a lot of us would pretty much, I think everybody on this podcast was calling for his head or saying that this was a prove it year at very least. And his job's secure, dude. He's in, and I couldn't be more happy for the guy. Florida State Seminoles legend, and receivers look a lot better.
I couldn't agree more, Christopher. Couldn't agree more.
That I think so. Christopher's right. The instant's over based on everything that just happened over the 2 minutes. Guys, dominating performance by Mike Norvell. It's big. It's Turkey Week. It's Gator Week. We just go to Knowles247.com. Subscribe if you're not. This is where we really shine. It's going to be a massive week as far as news for Florida State. And come here with Knowles247. Best guys in the biz. Beska,
Ingram.
What's up, Ingram Smith? Love you, bud. My bud. Ingram Smith from the Knoll class. The lads using this Scottish vernacular that he's so famous for. Big football fan. Well, listen, we're big football fans too, but the American kind. So go to Knowles247.com. We're going to have the best football coverage on the beat. We'll see you guys later. Keep chopping on. Man, this was nice. Got a whole day to myself now. Let's go.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.